We're getting closer and closer to the return of Jesus. We know that. All we have to do is just read the news. And end time events are not going to happen the way a lot of people have predicted and prophesied. I just never cease to be amazed at how many different people are the Antichrist. You know, then they die, so they got to find people have to find somebody else to be the Antichrist. You know, but during this time, it's critical that we are prepared to go through it. And I don't simply mean spiritually. You know, when God made Adam, he made the comment, it's not good for man to be alone. So he made a helpmeet for Adam. Turned out to be his wife, Eve. But that did not mean that every person is supposed to get married. A lot of people misinterpret that. He said it's not good for man to be alone. That means for those of us who are married, well, we're supposed to have a, you know, good marriage. No such thing as a perfect marriage. We know that. But we're supposed to have a, I guess you could say, a Christ-centered marriage. Yeah, Jason and Sharon back there, well, tell us there ain't no such thing as a perfect marriage. Yeah, you thought I didn't see that, didn't you? Yeah, But for people who aren't married, and even really extending beyond just a marriage relationship, there's a need for fellowship. We see that throughout Scripture. And there are many, many examples in the Word of God of people who have very good friends. You know, David and Jonathan, that's one example that comes to mind. And, who was that? Naomi and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth. I mean, they were kind of like related and all, but still they went beyond being related. They were friends. And there was something special about that. For us, we need the kind of friends who will be of benefit, be a benefit to us. And it's not up to us to simply and arbitrarily choose those friends. This is a real challenge for a lot of Christians. One of the really worst things that a Christian can do is allow the wrong people to become your closest friends. And as we go through this tonight, you're going to understand it, I hope, more clearly than ever before. There is a difference between an acquaintance and a friend. We'll talk about that as well. But the closer that we get to Jesus, we need people. If you remember the story about Moses and how Israel went into battle and Joshua led the warriors into battle, and Moses, as long as he had his hand up, Israel was winning. But if his hands went down, the other side was winning. So on one side was Aaron. First they got a big rock for Moses to sit on. And then Moses had Aaron on one side and Hur on the other. And they held his arms up. Well, see, that's what we need. Those kind of friends. Aaron's and Hur's. Because Aaron and Hur didn't look at him and say, well, you know, you're supposed to be the leader. I mean, lift your hands, leader. You know, just do your thing. You're the one's called of God. Now they recognized in Moses that he was human and that there was weakness. And so they helped him. And they lifted his arms up and they held his arms up so that the battle would be won. Those are the kind of friends we need. Friends who are going to acknowledge and recognize the fact that we have the potential to make a lot of mistakes, that we have emotions, and sometimes those emotions flow over into a temper. That happens. The closer we get to Christ, the more we conform to His image, the less the temper is supposed to manifest. And I think maybe we could all, or at least many of us, work on that aspect. But I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, the Bible talks about be angry and sin not. So anger is not a bad thing, but how it works in our lives can be a very bad thing. We're going to work through Scripture, and we're going to do this in sequence. What I mean is, We're not going to go, you know, from one passage and backward and forward and backward and forward. We're just going to start one place and keep going forward in the Bible just to make it easier to find all of this. But in the process, what we're going to do is we're going to see verses that exemplify both the wrong kind of people and the right kind of people that we need in our lives. Knowing this, though, we're going to be in contact with all kinds of people. Lost, saved, lukewarm, cold, hot. You're going to come in contact with all kinds of people. That is inevitable. You cannot avoid it. You're going to be in contact with nice people and jerks. You cannot avoid this. But just because somebody seems nice does not mean that they are the kind of people that you should have as friends. And we've all met folks in our lives, they just have that kind of personality that everybody just drawn to them. But that doesn't mean they are supposed to be a good friend. The kind of friend that we're going to see described here in Scripture. So we're going to start in Proverbs. Go ahead and turn over there. Proverbs chapter 16. And in Proverbs chapter 16, we're going to read two verses, starting in verse 27 and 28. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. These are people that are problems, troublemakers. In fact, I read a story just today. A man shared how that when he was a young boy, and some of you might have read this as well, but when he was a young boy, 10 years old, his dad was pastor of a church. During a church service, they were having a time of prayer at the altar, and two men, this young boy witnessed this, two men walked up to his dad, and his dad, remember, was the pastor. And the one man took his fist and put it up against the pastor's chin and told him he needed to resign because he's not spiritual enough. And the other guy was his backup. Well, it didn't turn into a brouhaha. And this man said that his dad, you know, handled it the way he should. And eventually those men left the church. But I just got such a kick out of that. You know, in the middle of a service, well, whatever the service, it took place. But in a service, at prayer time, at the altar, that's when these two guys thought was the right time to go to the pastor and one of them take his fist and put it up against the pastor's chin and say, "You're not spiritual enough." Excuse me, what's wrong with this picture? Who's not spiritual enough? Who? Now, nothing like that, nothing that dramatic has happened to me. However, there have been times when people have approached me, let's just say at the wrong time, to discuss issues with which they were not pleased. And when they do that, you know, I'm sitting and I'm thinking, okay, you know, depending upon the situations that I'm thinking of, okay, service starts here in about 10 minutes, and this is when God told you to come and say this. Now, I didn't say that. But I'm sitting and I'm listening because at times like that, I'd rather let people just kind of run their mouth for a while. It just lets them dig the hole deeper and deeper. And there's a reason for that. Don't need to go into it. But I've never had the drastic fist against the chin thing. But similar things have happened. And he says here, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. Diggeth up. Diggeth up. Diggeth up. Okay, you ever seen those shows on television where somebody's died and years later they go exhume the body? All right. This guy is exhuming stuff that has been buried. Stuff that's over. Supposed to be done with. Diggeth up evil. His lips are as a burning fire. A froward man, just a sinful, ungodly man, soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Brings division. The sad thing is, too many Christians, it's like they want to befriend people like this to try and help them. Are you not reading the description of these kind of people? Listen closely to me. You cannot be a friend to these people. You can be an acquaintance. You can be, and I guess I need to create some terms here. You can be a casual friend. You know, do you know what I mean by that? A casual friend? But not a soul-to-soul, spirit-to-spirit friend. I hope this is making sense. You can be a casual friend to people like that. But you cannot be the true friend. You can't. And if you try, it's going to come back and bite you. And I can't tell you how many times where this has happened, to where people have shared with me they felt so betrayed because, well, I thought we were friends, and I thought, and I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, you know what? You should have known better. And I listen on the inside, and a lot of things I don't say that I think, and that's appropriate. But you should know better. You just can't be a godlike friend, a godly friend to everybody. You can't. And these kind of people, now the reason I'm bringing this out is because these are things to look for. And it won't take long before you know if somebody fits this description. It won't take long. Now this doesn't mean that when you encounter people like this and other people that we'll read about here later on, it doesn't mean that when they come around, you run off screaming, you're froward. It doesn't mean that. What it means is, it's kind of like when somebody comes to your front door and you talk to them through the screen, or you kind of open the door a little bit and talk, but you don't just, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, that's the way it is with your life. You talk to people like this through the screen door of your life, and that's as far as it goes. Let's look at another place. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You remember that song by Kenny Rogers, The Gambler? You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run, whatever. You never count your money while sitting at the table. Be time enough for counting when the dealing's done, or something like that. I mean, Kathy sang that to me one time years ago. In other words, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. This is not talking about you don't share a prayer request. However, some people are very good at sharing prayer requests with anybody they come across. And there are times over the years when people have shared things with me, and I don't even tell Kathy because of the confidence in which it was shared with me. Now, some people think that husbands and wives are supposed to share everything. They are desperately wrong, especially when it comes to things being shared with the pastor. There are people who share things with me. There are people who share things with me and don't even go to this church. And sometimes I'm not sure why they're telling me this. You know, why don't you go talk to your own pastor? They don't trust their own pastor for whatever reason. Doesn't mean their pastor's a bad person, but the point I'm getting at is this. You need to know when it's wrong to repeat a matter. And there are times when people will come to me, they'll share something, and I'll ask, is it okay if I share this with Kathy? As, you know, a point of prayer. But that's as far as it goes. In fact, there have been times when somebody has gone to Kathy and said, well, they're talking about, you know, a problem, whatever it was. And she looks at them like, what? And they said, well, they told me. And she said, well, he never told me. That's because I did not get the impression I was at liberty to share with her. And it's not that I, you know, run around keeping secrets from her. It's just I honor the confidentiality and the privacy of people, and that's what it's supposed to be. So it you do not have the liberty to share everything with your spouse. When you begin repeating things, as soon as you open your mouth and you say something, you're taking the risk of somebody else knowing about it. And I don't care who it is. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't trust Kathy. But what it means is, the moment you knock that first domino down, and there are people that I thought could be trusted, but I found out later they couldn't. And you learn. You learn who to talk to and who not to talk to. Well, he that covereth a transgression. Here's the kind of friend you need. Somebody who out of love is going to do what they can to keep your confidentiality, especially if it involves something in your own life. Especially if you are going through a something, and maybe there's sin in your life. Well, you know what? If you're making the effort to overcome it, that's one thing. But if you're just blatantly don't care about it, all right, that's when you need to be marked. But when you're truly making an effort, then my love, the love of God flowing through me, is going to do what it can. I'm going to do what I can to see to it that we do not broadcast this. Okay, that's the kind of friend you need. The kind of person who is not going to open their mouth. You know what that means? That means there are not going to be too many people in your life that you can share things with. Just aren't. There just aren't. Even family members. Some of you probably have family members. You wouldn't even tell them what time you got out of bed. You understand what I mean? Let's look at another place here in Proverbs 7, chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You need a friend who's going to love you whether you've had your shower or not. You need a friend that you're so comfortable with that it's okay if they see you with bedhead. You know what I'm talking about. You need a friend that you could trust to wash your clothes. Now, you understand what I'm talking about? That you could trust them to wash your clothes. Now, I'm trying to give examples to help you see this. I'm firmly convinced that a lot of Christians don't understand the value of having these kind of friends. And the fact that you just can't have everybody as a friend. A friend is going to love you no matter what. This doesn't mean a friend will love but will not enable. You don't need an enabler in your life. You need somebody who's going to love you with the love of God. God's not an enabler. There's mercy, there's grace, there's patience, but He's not an enabler. You don't need somebody who's an enabler. What you need is somebody who's going to love you and love you enough to help you see things maybe that you need to see. Look in chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now I know that when we talk about sticking closer than a brother, we're talking about Jesus. However, you also need human friends like this. Friends that will stick. Okay, let me throw this out to you right now. You will never in your life encounter a lost person who can be the kind of friend we're talking about tonight. Now, some people would want to fuss about that. Well, some of the best friends I have are lost. No, they're not. Because if you do not have that common bond of Christ, then it is impossible for a lost person to be this kind of friend. You have to have somebody who can, with whom you can have a discussion about deep calleth unto deep. You have to be able to share the kind of things that God is doing in your life that lost people can never understand. You get lost people and we start using our terms like the anointing and all these other kind of things. They don't know what you're talking about. I could feel the presence of God. His glory filled the room, and they're like looking around like, do what? I didn't see anything. You cannot have a lost person. And that what I just said, this part right here, there are a lot of Christians who get highly offended at that. Well, what you've just shared in that offense is that you don't know what it takes to have a good friend. And you don't know what constitutes the kind of godly friend that you need. One reason a lot of Christians don't want a true godly friend is because they don't want to be called on. They don't want their issues identified. And it's easy when you have other people. If you're surrounded by issue-laden people, you're going to be happy in your issues. Look in Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 10, Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. When I was reading this, the Lord just really impressed on me that this is a major reason why a lot of Christians have problems in their lives. It's because they have allowed scorners to become their friends. And those scorners are going to bring contention with them. You remember that the Peanuts cartoon? What was that guy's name? Not Dirtbag, Pigpen. Yeah, Dirtbag. Pigpen, remember that? And everywhere he went, there's like this cloud of dirt around him. All right, there are people like that, the scorner. And they bring with them strife, reproach, and contention. It's like a cloud that is just swirling around their lives. And they're messed up. And he says, cast them out. In other words, get them out of your life. Not cut them off from, well, hey, how you doing? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You cannot have those kind of people. And if somebody turns into that kind of a person, they have to be cast out. He that loveth pureness of heart. You need somebody in your life who loves pureness of heart. When you get around people and their talk is about, boy, how can I say this in a nice way? I don't like to be around Christians who talk about the R-rated movies they watch. I don't like to be around that. Especially when I know the content of those movies. All I have to do is read about it, read the reviews, and see what is contained in the movie. I don't want to be around people like that. You know why? It's because they have exposed themselves to something that's made an impact on them. And don't tell me you can sit and watch movies like that and not be impacted. I know better. It has an effect on you. And a lot of Christians don't want to believe that. They don't want to hear it. They just want to dismiss that. Oh, you're just old, whatever, you know. No, I'm not. The Bible says, set no evil thing before your eye. And I'm telling you what, you have no business looking at an unclothed individual who's not your spouse. I don't care if it's half unclothed or whatever. You have no business doing that. None. And that's not some preacher rhetoric. The Bible makes it very clear you're not supposed to be doing this. And I don't want to be around people who I want to be around people that love pureness of heart. I want to be around those kind of people because the presence of God will flow through them. The presence of His love will move through them. Look over in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel. From God's perspective, when you have a friend who is going to give you biblically based, God-inspired counsel, that's the kind of friend you need, even if you don't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Nobody likes to be confronted with the bad stuff they've done or the mistakes or the wrong choices. No, 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 nobody likes that. But there is an ointment, perfume, rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Let me say it like this. There is an anointing that comes with hearty counsel. There is an anointing that comes with counsel that's birthed out of the mind of Christ and the Word of God. Even if it steps on my toes, I need it. And those are the kind of friends I need in my life who will sit down and talk to me about things like this. And I thank God that I do have friends like that in my life. But these are the kind of people that we need. All of us, we need that. Now, in some cases, your spouse is not going to be that kind of friend. Because if your spouse is not, say, conforming to the image of what we're seeing here in Scripture, then your spouse can be your spouse, but cannot be that godlike friend. And people talk about where your spouse is supposed to be your best friend. No. Well, okay, yes, supposed to be. But no, won't always be. Because if your spouse is not pressing in to conform to the image of Christ, I'm sorry, even if the spouse is born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, they can't be the kind of friend you need. You need a spouse who truly is in love with Jesus, doing what they can to grow. I mean, the kind of friend that you need is not going to be somebody who is walking on water all the time. You understand what I mean? We're all growing and maturing spiritually. But you need somebody that's walking that same narrow path with you. And the spouse isn't always going to be that. Well, look, continuing here in Psalm 27, look in verse 14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted as a curse to him. You ever been around those people who seem to be loud and boisterous Christians? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Let me tell you about people like that. They're hiding something. They're trying to cover something in their lives by appearing as everybody's buddy. There's something, you say, well, Brother Martin, that's a pretty, I mean, you're just, you know, putting everybody in the same bucket. Yeah, I am, I understand what I'm talking about, and I know I'm right. The people who are like that, there's something going on, and they're trying to hide a lack of spiritual maturity. And they want you to think they're further along. A lot of these people, they're going to be able to quote Scripture to you. They're going to be able to make reference to things of God. But when it comes to them being the kind of friend that you need, no. And he's telling you right here, he's warning you. This kind of a person, you know what? If you truly want the kind of friends that God wants you to have, all you have to do is ask Him. And if you make it a habit of praying and saying, Father, show me what I need to see in this person. Not necessarily everything that's going on, just what do I need to see? He's going to show you. He'll raise the red flags. He'll let you know. And if you continue here in chapter 27, look in verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. You need iron that's going to sharpen you. You need something that is going, a person who is going to give you an edge, if you understand what I mean by that. You need somebody who is going to work on you as a friend to continually edify you and encourage you. Now, there's something I've skipped. We have to go back to chapter 22. In verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. This is absolutely critical because, let me just kind of broaden this. When you hang around the wrong kind of friends, God is giving you a warning right here. They are going to impact you in the area of your soul and your emotions, and you're going to be influenced by them more than they will be influenced by you. You cannot afford to do this. See, when you talk about the Marines, you know, and they have this this motto, I think it's like, you know, no man left behind or something like that. And one of the things that takes place in boot camp, they drill it into you that you're a team and you are vital to the life of your team members. You cannot do anything to mess up. They try to instill this you're a knit unit. It doesn't matter if you don't like the person or not. You got to be ready to trust that person with your life, and they have to be able to trust you with their life. The kind of friends that we need are like that. And if you have the right kind of friends in your life, what you see here in this verse about, you know, stay away from this kind of individual and because he's going to mess up your life and he'll be an influence on you. But if the opposite is true, you get around the right kind of people, the godly friends that you need. And they are going to be a godly influence on you. And they don't even have to preach. Just being with people like that. Having those kinds of friends is absolutely critical. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to take a look first off in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You need friends that are doing verse 16. You need friends that are walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And as I'm going through all of this, I don't know, I don't want to say that I'm not getting a word from the Lord, but what I'm sensing is that some of you, you're identifying people in your own lives that you, Christians, that you know you don't need to have as close friends. Doesn't mean that you never contact them again, but you're seeing something here. You need friends who are going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And continuing here in chapter 5, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You need friends that are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. One of the things that's going to happen, it's happened over and over again in my life, in ministry, and also pre-ministry. Somebody hits a rough patch, Christians, all right, they hit a rough patch in the road. You know what that means, you know, go through rough times. And one of the things that happens inevitably, and I have seen this over and over again, one of the first things they tend to do is back off and withdraw. Pull away from the people they need in their lives. They pull it. Why is that? Well, there's all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it's guilt. Sometimes it's shame. Sometimes it's just you let the devil hammer you with, you know, poor self-image, whatever it is. And they back off from the very people they need to be around. And then they don't even want to communicate. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling you, in my years of being in ministry and in pre-ministry life, I've seen this over and over again. That's not the answer. The answer is you need to get around people who are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Even if you feel like a dog, even if you feel like a loser, you need to be around those people because those people are going to be able to speak life into your life. They're going to be the sowers that sow the word into your life. The problem is if you keep living your pity party, then you're going to be the person who gets cut off. Because fruit-bearing people, they'll encourage you, encourage you, encourage you. But the day's going to come to where your words are just words. The sincerity of heart is not there. And they're going to realize there's nothing we can do. We're here if you want us. But if you don't, nothing we can do. And sadly, too many Christians... I don't want to go there. There are Christians. See, here's part of the problem with this message. Is that as I'm standing here, I'm seeing names. So, I'm seeing faces. I'm not identifying any one individual. Okay, I want to make sure you understand that. I'm not. You too, out there, watching this. I'm not. But you know what? Like they say, if the shoe fits, wear it. Look, you know, if anybody at any point in time has could try and, by human standards, justify throwing in the towel and crawling into a hole, it's a pastor. Because most people have no idea what pastors go through. Now, praise God, hey, I've got it easy here. You know, thank God for that. But that we have no excuses. And that's the thing, man. When I figured that out, that I have no excuses. None. I have no excuses. That takes all the fun out of complaining. I can't complain because of who I am in Christ. Man, I tell you what, when you come to that realization, it just hits home. And it's like part of you just wants to fuss and complain. But then that knowledge of, you know, well, you have no excuse, that begins to rise up. And it's like, I know, God, I know. But it's like, you know, it's like, and he knows. You know, it's not like I'm telling him anything that he doesn't know. I need friends around me that bear the fruit of the Spirit. You need people like that around you in your life. Those are the kind of friends that you need. They're going to stick closer than a brother. And when you go through a rough patch, they're going to edify you. They're going to be there to strengthen you. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, you work this list that I... In fact, you know, really, if you could just read through the book of Proverbs, and you're going to see the description of the kind of friends that you need. People that walk in wisdom. I mean, there's so much that could be covered in this. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You need friends that hold fast to the profession of their faith. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You need a friend. You need friends in your life who are going to consider you, provoke you unto love and to good works. Or in other words, works, a lifestyle that reflects God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You need friends who are committed to their church attendance. That's who you need. And you need friends who are going to exhort you in your walk in Christ. These are the kind of people that you need in your life. You don't need the people, friends, who will go fishing with you on Sunday just because you decide you want to go fishing. And there are people like that. You need friends that are going to hold true to the Word of God. They're going to hold on to their profession of faith. Now, there's another aspect of this, and I've kind of saved these last three to the end for a reason. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this, what we're getting ready to read, is so often associated with marriages and dating. But if you leave this in context, there's not a whole lot in here about the marriage relationship or dating, even though it could apply to that. In verse chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath unrighteousness with righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This would not simply and only and exclusively apply to a fellowshipping lifestyle, your closest friends being lost people. This can also include lukewarm Christians. Now again, remember, this is not, get away from me, you're a cursed thing. Get away from me, you infidel. That's not it. I mean, how do you witness to people if you push everybody away from you? How in the world do you work restoration in somebody's life if you push everybody away? This is all about that kind of friendship that we're supposed to have. Yeah, the intimacy of heart that you can have with other people. Sadly, a lot of Christians don't have this. But God can bring people like this into your life. And he's saying, look, you can't have this. And there are Christians that fit this description. And I realize he's focusing primarily on the lost, but there are Christians that can fit the generalized aspect of this description. Now look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And it says here in verse 14, Paul writes, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, or who want to be spiritually mature, Be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He's saying, you look for people that are like me, that are like Timothy, that are like Apollos, the people that minister with me. He's saying, you look for people like us, and you identify us, and those are the folks that you're supposed to follow. So another way that we could state this for ourselves is the kind of friends that we need are people who are meeting the definition of Scripture as to what it means to have a holy life, to be walking in truth, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and so forth. Identify those people. There are some Christians that I know, more names, more faces here. There are some Christians I know, they must be absolutely, totally deceived, self-deceived. Because it's almost like they think they are what we've just read here. And they try to act it, and everybody around them knows the difference. They know that these people aren't like that. And it's the kind of thing to where they, okay, let me say it a little bit differently, and maybe this will help you understand. There are some people who think that there is an inner circle of preachers. Now let me use the prayer center in Tulsa as an example. Go out there for the conferences. I started going in March of 1997. Thank God they didn't ask me to preach back then. And I mean it, seriously. Because I wasn't ready, even though I thought I was ready, but I wasn't ready. And years passed before they ever asked me to minister. And thank God they waited. But as time went on, this was God. There was no manipulation involved. But as time went on, there was a relationship that developed between Pastor Dave Roberson and Tim Stemple and me and Bronk Flint and just a few others. And there were people there that attended these conferences. They began to get this idea that this was like this closed, special inner circle. You understand what I mean? And there were some, they wanted to get in and be a part of that circle. Well, there was no closed circle. There was no secret society. It just wasn't like that. But what happened was, the Lord worked it out for us to be iron sharpening each other. And quite frankly, you know, I was sharpened more than I did sharpening. And that's okay. I mean, thank God for it. But it wasn't like we excluded anybody else. But there were some people who thought they should be a part of that, and they weren't. Now, guys, look, there comes a point in time to where you just, every one of you in here, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever come across somebody that you knew years ago and you thought they were really spiritually mature, and you meet them again years later, and you think, my goodness, have they backslidden? They're not in sin, but what it is, no. You've matured. You've grown in the Lord, and you didn't even recognize it. Now you meet somebody that you thought was really far along, and they're not as far along as what you thought. It doesn't mean that they've messed up in life. It just means you've grown. And you realize, when you meet up with people like that after all those years, you realize you cannot have the same kind of close fellowship with them you used to have. And it's not that you're snobbish. That's not it. Every one of you in here, I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, see, that's the way it has been. And it's not like people have been excluded. It's like this is just how it's worked out. Paul is talking about you need to identify people who are walking the walk, and those are the ones that you need to not simply emulate, but these are the people that you need to look toward as far as friendship is concerned. And you don't force it. You mature in the Lord, and the Lord works it out. The Lord brings it to pass. Look in our last passage here tonight, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And here in Luke chapter 6, we pick this up in verse 43. Jesus says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." This doesn't need a whole lot of dialogue. You know exactly what this is talking about, and relative to the kind of friends that we need good fruit tree friends. But he continues in verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The kind of friends that I need and you need are the people who do what the Lord has said, what's in Scripture. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." You need verse 48 friends. Every one of us, we need verse 48 friends. People who have that foundation laid so deeply, they're not going to be shaken. However, verse 49, "He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You don't need somebody who's always, I mean, everybody, in both these verses, 48 and 49, they both had a house, both looked like they were ready to endure anything. The outward appearance was great. But when adversity struck, the one fell. Now the house that fell, what do you think the guy did? Well, what would you do if your house collapsed? Rebuild, right? With that image in mind, rebuild, fall down. Rebuild, fall down. In other words, up and down, up and down. You know what I'm talking about here. Now listen to this. "Those who complain the most and or talk more about their problems than their trust in God are the people who are not fellowshipping with God as they should, no matter what they tell you. You do not need them as friends. Be very careful who your friends are from now on. God will bring His chosen friends into your life if you are willing to let Him. This requires you to let Him dissolve friendships that are not iron to sharpen you, or people who are Hebrews 10:23-25 people in your life. There is a huge emphasis on the word huge. There is a huge difference between an acquaintance and a friend. You must be able to identify one from the other. If you're going to make it to the end, whatever that means, we need people like this in our lives. These are the kind of friends. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you truly pursue this and ask God to help you develop the kind of friendships that you need, one of the things that will happen is people that you don't need to have as friends, there will be a separation. That may even include people that you have been what you might call close with for years. There's going to be a separation. Let it happen. I'm not saying an argument or a fight. Just a separation. Let it happen. Then there will be people God will bring into your life. Some of these people that He brings into your life, at first you might wonder, how in the world can this person be my friend? In other words, this is not the kind of person that I would pick to be my friend. But the attitude of heart must be, okay, look, I prayed about this, and I've asked you to bring the kind of people into my life to be my friends that I need. And what you may find out is somebody you would never have chosen to be your friend, if you let God work in the midst of this, they could turn out to be the absolute best friend you have ever had in your life. At first you may think, there is nothing about them. I mean, they're not bad people, but you know, the personality thing. I mean, I just can't see how we'll ever get along. Leave it to God. Leave it to God. and just keep praying, and just keep praying, and you never try to force the friendship. You just let God bring it to pass. And these are the kind of friendships that are going to be with you. Let me use Kathy and me as an example. Back in 1997 at the prayer conference in Tulsa, the first time that I became aware that there was a human being named Bronc Flint. Prior to that, I had no idea. And he had a wife named Candy. And well, okay, they're nice people, et cetera, and so forth. March of 1997 was the first time that I ever met Gary Carpenter. And first time I ever heard him minister. Well, okay, praise God. You know, there's a guy named Bronc and his wife Candy, and there's a guy named Gary. Now, over time, only seeing these people once a year, and maybe twice a year when there were two conferences being held, 1 and maybe 2 weeks out of a year, that was it. That was it. God began working a miraculous thing. And now, the friendships that Kathy and I have with Gary and Sue Carpenter and Bronc and Candy Flint, it's like we have known each other since childhood. It's just incredible how this has happened. And we were only meeting 1 or maybe 2 weeks out of an entire year. It wasn't like we worked together. It wasn't like we went to the same church together. It wasn't like we were neighbors or anything. Now, only God can do that. Only God. That's what I'm talking about. You just keep pressing into God, letting Him work this thing out about the friends. And the ones that you don't need to have as that inner circle for you, your heart friends, then, you know, those things will drift away. But He'll begin bringing people into your life that are going to be a spiritual blessing to you, that have His heart and will share His heart with you. And those are the people that are going to stick closer than a brother. And when adversity hits or whatever the situation, they will be there for you. So if you feel like you don't have any good close friends, pray. Pray and ask God. And guys, for those of you that are here in this church, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be somebody that sits in the pew here. It could be somebody who attends another church. So it's not like an exclusive club here. Just let God do it. Let Him work it out. Let Him do it because He wants that. It's not good for us to be alone.